From Studio 22, you're listening to Servcast with your host, William Lamb. Servcast is dedicated to challenging those who have a desire to serve, lead, and make the world a better place through the love of Jesus Christ. And now, here's William.
Welcome to Servcast. We're glad you joined us today. We have two guests in the studio, actually at separate times, but our first guest is Tom Madden. Tom Madden is the administrative bishop for the Church of God Churches in North Georgia. Tom is also a friend of Lee University, has been at Lee several times in his ministry over the last 30 years plus, I suppose, and has shared in the pulpit at Lee on numerous occasions. He was recently at the chapel in Lee, and so he talked about God's got a plan, God's got a destiny, and we hear people talk about this stuff all the time. What's fun today is you're going to hear Tom unpack it a little bit and talk about what does it mean to actually hear from God, and what does it mean whenever, you know, we kind of grapple with this idea that maybe God is wanting us to do something. He's going to be sharing about God's plan for you and how do you actually get to the place that you can walk in what God's already destined or what God's desire is for you. He's also the founder of Winterfest. Now, you may have heard of Winterfest before. If not, it's a large youth movement for Christ that's been going on for, 20-something plus years. And so you're going to hear him talk a little bit about that particular ministry and what they're doing in that regard. While he doesn't work with that particular group day-to-day, he is a father figure to many people and actually cares deeply for young people. So you don't want to miss that conversation that we're having with Tom. After that conversation, you're going to come back for the last 15 minutes of the episode today, and we're going to be hearing a conversation that I'm had with Mackenzie Clinton. Now, Mackenzie Clinton is a Lee University graduate who is serving the next year of her life in Cambodia with an organization called People for Care and Learning. People for Care and Learning is a partnership organization with Lee University as well as with many other organizations around the world, and they're doing tremendous work in Cambodia. Now, here's the exciting part. Mackenzie's a business major, and she heard God speak to her, and she answered God, and she said yes. And so she chose to spend the next 12 months of her life teaching and educating young people and kids a long ways from where she is, across the seas in a distant country. Here's the deal. When you're listening to us today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about what God might be saying to you. God is in the speaking business, as you'll hear from my conversation with Tom and you'll hear from my conversation with Mackenzie. God's talking. The question is whether or not we're listening. So I invite you to position yourself into a place today to say, okay, God, I'm open. You know, maybe God's wanting you to go to Cambodia. I don't know. Maybe God's wanting you to go across the street. I don't know. What I do know is this. God's wanting you and I to be salt and light to a world in chaos that needs to know the love of Jesus Christ. So wherever you do that, that's between you and God. What I'm concerned about is you rising to the occasion to recognize that you're made for more, as we say all the time on Servcast. So join us now as we talk with Tom and then with Mackenzie, and then you have your talk with God and see what God might be saying he wants you to do for the cause of his kingdom. Thank you. Welcome to Servcast. We're glad you're back with us. And our guest today is Tom Madden. We're going to be talking with him in just a little bit. Tom is the director of the Church of God Churches in North Georgia. He has some official title. I think they call it admin bishop or something like that. But when you hear this guy, you're going to enjoy him. He is a friend of mine, been a friend for a very long time. And so we're excited to have him in the room with us today. We're going to go straight into this excerpt that you heard from the chapel of Tom talking in chapel today at Lee University. And we'll be right back with a few questions to pose to him in the process.
Now, here's what I found in my walk with Christ, men and women. There are voices that are always talking to me. There are voices that are always speaking to me. I remember sitting in this chapel, middle ways back of the center section, going through my studies and having the voices of the enemy say to me, your life's never going to amount to anything. You're wasting your time here. The future is cloudy. You're never going to make it. And there are voices I thought younger in my life that I would be able to deal with them. They would just silence themselves the older I got. But what I have found is this, the older I get, the louder the voices get. Men and women, you have no choice about the voices that are going to speak to you. The voices that are going to talk to you are in direct opposition to God's plan on your life. And the choice that you have to make here and all throughout life is like Jordan did on the video and in the competition. You have to decide which voice you're going to listen to. There are voices that are loose in our culture. They're telling us to redefine everything we've ever known. Redefine marriage, redefine love, redefine gender, and they are loose in the culture. But to those of us who come in this place today, and you lifted up your hands and you talked about the love of Christ filling you over and embracing you, there is still a voice that when He speaks, men and women, it drowns out every other voice of the world that will come to you. Your problem is, and the thing you have to do, is know His voice when He speaks to you.
Tom, welcome to Servcast, man. We're glad you're with us today. How you doing?
Thank you, William. Honored to be here today and honored to have spoken in chapel today to a great group of young men and women. And what an exciting place to speak and to have the opportunity to do that.
Now, you're an alum of Lee. You
yes.
came to Lee many years ago or a few years ago, or
let's,
which was it?
Let's go a few years ago. Yeah, I was actually a student, graduated here, went 75, graduated in 79, and went on to our seminary and finished my master's there and into ministry. But yeah, and it's just great to come back, see all the changes that have taken place on the campus. Just a phenomenal place, a great testimony of the faithfulness of God to leadership and His hand upon the school and what I believe He wants the school to be in His kingdom.
Good deal. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. You know, there's some buzzwords that people hear all the time from preachers, and some of those buzzwords are destiny and purpose and promise and, you know, even provision. And then one that you talked about quite in detail today, assignment, you know.
Yeah.
You used Psalms chapter 3, David. Mm-hmm. So can you take just a couple of minutes and kind of frame this for us so people can understand exactly what was happening in David's life and why you derived these terms from there, and then we'll ask some specific questions that came to us from students that were listening to your talk today.
Sure. Of course, we all know the story of David. We heard that growing up in Sunday school, how the hand of God was upon his life and killed a lion and a bear. Of course, killed Goliath. That was the big trophy that he would have. And certainly the hand of God was upon David's life. The lineage of Christ was going to come through David. So it's obvious the favor of God was upon his life. But in the story this morning, Psalm 3, he found himself in difficult circumstances. David had sinned. And as a result of some of that, the consequences of some of that, his son Absalom rose up against him, was going to kill him. So what David had to encounter and deal with are voices that were speaking to him, some internal voices and some external, that were telling him, hey, this is so bad that not even God can help you in your circumstances. Not even God is with you now. And just come to the absolute flat denial, not even God can help you. And that's the ultimate lie of the enemy that all of us at some point in time we're going to listen to. We're going to have to deal with those voices in our assignment and in our life because of failure sometimes. And others are just going to come because of God's hand being upon our life and taking us to where He wants us to go. It's spiritual warfare. Now, those are two words I didn't use this morning.
Right.
But the bottom line is that's what we encounter as Christians in our life. It is a walk of faith, and in that walk of faith, there's warfare that's going on.
Yeah, Tom, that makes a lot of sense, you know, especially with the idea that David was a man just like you and I, had struggles just like many of us in the world. And believers, you know, we look at the world and we have a hope. There's a certain amount of confidence in knowing that the chaos that we're experiencing today is not necessarily the end road for us. I mean, there is a hope beyond that. We have people that will profess Christ and people who do not profess Christ that listen to our podcast today. So I need to unpack some of those terms if we can for just a few minutes and help people really frame the idea and understand what we're talking about. Use the term assignment and destiny in particular. What does it mean that God gives humanity an assignment? You know, is there something in particular that God's designed for me to be part of or for me to do? And what does that really mean? Can you talk about that a minute?
In some regard, the two words are interchangeable. I can use them interchangeable. There's an ultimate destiny that I believe that God maps out for all of our lives. He talked about that with Jeremiah.
Even an unbeliever.
But God had his destiny mapped out for him before he ever drew a breath. I called you to the nations. Mm-hmm. And God was going to carry him. That was going to be his assignment to his ultimate destiny. And I believe that God in his kingdom, and I think we have to have a kingdom mentality about it, in working everything according to his perfect will, he gifts and makes specific assignments on people's lives to carry out his will in the kingdom. We all have a part to play, and with that assignment comes particular gifts and talents that he gives us to carry out that assignment. And if we carry out that assignment, that indeed is our ultimate destiny and fulfillment for our lives, is doing the will of God for our life. And all of that being encompassed together, working together with other people in other situations, brings together the perfect will of God in the earth.
And part of the struggle, I think, is that the reality is that assignment, you know, is designed by God with intention that we do, you know, advance the work of God, the kingdom of God on the earth. Would that be the reason why we have so many competing voices to kind of cause us to stumble and miss our assignment or blow our assignment or fall short of it?
Well, sure, of course. And we have to understand that with favor and with an assignment comes opposition. Because I said a moment ago, it is spiritual warfare. There is a competing voice. There is a competitor in the world. And it's all about the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. It's not about us. This is God's kingdom. It's his world. And he wants to use us to fulfill his kingdom work on this planet, is what he wants us to do. So with that, automatically goes opposition. It's just part of the journey.
So what are some of those cultural voices that we face today? What are some of those voices that affect us, you know, that are really trying to deter us from what God's design is?
Well, the voices all through the years have come in different come through different avenues. But the bottom line is that they all will contradict the will of God, the Word of God. So to me, it really doesn't matter how they come. It can come through media. It can be internal when the enemy just plays on our emotions and human doubts and fears that are a part of every person's makeup. The enemy plays on those and gets in those to try to cause us to doubt, number one, God's word, because that's the ultimate that he's after right there, mm-hmm. is to get us to deny God, to deny his purpose, so that his purpose is not fulfilled in the kingdom and in our lives. So it's not, to me, it's not so much how it comes, it's what is coming. And it will always be in violation of God's word.
So what are some practical steps that we can train ourselves so that we will be able to, first, identify God's voice, secondly, identify those competing voices that we need to put at bay of sorts? Mm-hmm. And so how do we do that? I mean, you know, somebody who maybe, you know, you and I, we've been around this Christian thing for a long time, man. Yeah. You know, we were trained well, taught well, learned well, and, you know, sought God for ourselves. And so, but not everyone's at that level yet. Mm-hmm. So what are some good starting points to hear God so that you can reach your destiny, per se?
Well, Jesus is very clear, and he said, told his disciples, my sheep know my voice. And so you have to have a relationship with him to know his voice. When our daughter was growing up and she was still at home, her voice sounded a lot like my wife. And so people would call the house and not living there every day, they couldn't differentiate who was answering the phone. So you would hear them correct the person on the other end. Mm-hmm. No, this is Crystal, or no, this is Sharla, mm-hmm. and make the correction. But I live there every day. Mm-hmm. I talk to them every day, so I knew who I was talking to. And I think that's the way it is in our relationship with the Lord. We have to develop a relationship with him that we know his voice and know that in that, he will never contradict his word, never. And that's how you can distinguish the voices, because God will never bring you doubt. He doesn't bring you fear. That's said in the word. But the opposing voices will always bring you those things. I mean, that was the strategy of the enemy in the very beginning. He caused Eve to doubt. Mm-hmm. And then he came denying the word of God. So that's how you'll know the difference in the voices. Number one, as a believer, you're going to know his voice. And number two, the voice of God will never contradict his word. But the outside voices will always contradict the word of God.
Now, you've been in ministry for a very long time, right?
Well, let's say a while.
Well, in the next segment of this episode, we're going to be able to know how long it's been, because we'll talk about something called Winterfest in just a little bit. But has there ever been a time, I know there has, but is there a time that you can share with us when you realized that you were listening to the wrong voice, and how did you correct that? You know, how did you get back on track to the place that you needed to be?
I don't know that there's ever a time that I can say I listened to the wrong voice. I mean, we all have struggles as believers that we walk through. There are always times like David when you feel like, okay, I feel abandoned, I feel alone, I can't walk through this. But I don't think there's ever a time that I, never a time I walked away from the faith and just doubted God's word or doubted who he was. But there are always struggles that we all go through. But that's what the walk of faith is all about. It's knowing that you're in God's hands, that he is living inside of you, even when you don't feel it, even when you're going through struggles. Just keep walking. You know he's with you, and God's going to make it right in the end.
So what are some of the consequences of missing God's voice? Now, you alluded to that a few minutes ago with David, you know, but what are some other things, practical areas that we know, hey, man, you need to open your eyes and pay attention as parents. You know, we try to get our kids to be aware of what's not yet there, that they're not knowledgeable enough to identify yet, so that they can prepare to make right choices. What are some long-term consequences of missing it?
Well, David paid heavily for his sin. He paid heavily for it. So just know that when you do the Bible, I mean, the Bible is very clear. There is a way that seems right, but we know the end of that. It's a way of death. So we have to be very careful, knowing that our actions have consequences, not only for us, but for those that are around us. That, you know, there is a price to be paid for that. But God in his mercy and in his grace, when we come back to him with an open, repentant heart, God can touch and God can correct those kind of things, even in the life of our children. If they've seen some things they shouldn't sing, that's what grace is all about. That's what mercy is all about. And God is a loving, merciful Father. But to continue down the road of transgression, you know, you pass that on. It's just a natural consequence of what we're doing.
Learn behavior in a lot of ways, I guess.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Correct.
You also talked about in your chapel talk this morning, this idea of the tendency that voices will draw us into this self-promotion idea, you know, that I self-promote myself. And, you know, jovial, I suppose, in some, you know, I mean, students are always about posting pictures. Yeah. And, I mean, I post cooking pictures, man. Sure. If you've seen my Facebook or my Instagram, you're going to see me with a big green egg, you know. But what are some practical steps to help people to avoid the self-promotion trap? Now, beyond just saying, hey, William, you know, yeah, we need to give all honor and glory to God. You know, you've seen a lot of people come and go, Tom. You've met a lot of folks around your ministry for many, many years. What are some very key practical steps as we close this segment today to be able to say you want to guard against this so that humility becomes a reality in your life and not self-promotion?
I think a lot of people are insecure. Mm. And we live in a success-driven society in every part of it. And I think a lot of that has obviously crept over into the church. Now, we all want to succeed. But at the end of the day, we have to realize it is still about God's kingdom. Now, I get social media, and I understand it. But I think the bottom line, some of the traps that we can keep ourselves out of, number one, is knowing that we're in the will of God, that we are knowing our purpose, knowing our assignment, I think is crucial. When we know our assignment and we know our place, then we're secure in that. We're secure in God. And if he wants to move us to another assignment or take us somewhere else, he will do that. And we don't have to struggle. We don't have to fight. I mean, it's like Joseph. I mean, Joseph is a prisoner one day, but the next day he's the prime minister. Mm. God knows where we are. And our life is in his hands. He's numbered our days. and we can rest in the security that his plans for us, as Jeremiah said, are good. They're good. He's not going to harm us. And at the end of the day, only two words we want to hear said, well done. Mm-hmm. And if we do our assignment, if we're faithful to our calling, God will take care of us. He will promote us when we need to be promoted. And at the very end, when the real accounting day comes, mm-hmm. well done. You did what I asked you to do, and you did it to the best of your ability. I think that's the easiest way to avoid the traps that are out there.
Mm-hmm. What is one of your go-to scriptures when the voices are really loud and the chaos is prevalent? What's one of your go-to passages of scripture that you dig into that really helps you hold focus on what God's called you to do?
Well, I always go to Jeremiah in that opening chapter when he just talked about God ordained him to the nations before he ever drew a breath. And I just know that there's nothing out there. If I put my trust, my full trust and confidence in the Lord, whatever is coming against me, emotionally, physical, or whatever, God is in ultimate control of my life. And if I will trust him and believe him, he will take care of whatever those voices are. He'll deal with whatever comes if we trust him. And when our assignment is complete, he'll take care of that as well. So our life is in him totally.
Good word, good challenge. We'll be right back with our second segment. We're going to talk about this thing called Winterfest, which was an assignment that Tom got about 35 years ago with three or four of his friends, and they launched something that is shaking the world for the kingdom of God. So stay with us. We'll be right back. As we continue this discussion about faith and leadership, we're going to move now, Tom, from this idea of really the biblical framework that you just, you know, pitched for us to show us what it looks like to follow God, to hear God's voice. 35 years ago, you and some youth ministry friends mm-hmm. got together and heard God's voice to start mm-hmm. a movement that's now called Winterfest, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
What in the world is Winterfest?
Well, it's what it's turned out to be is a gathering together of youth groups and believers who come together on a weekend in different parts of the world now to worship and praise God. I would like to tell you that we had all that figured out when it started. I'd love to tell you the name was already figured out, but that's just not the way it happened. The way it happened was we had left Lee University here and had come back to Cleveland here to work as youth pastors. And a friend of mine was having breakfast across town. Turned out we were both going to Gatlinburg with our youth groups to have a youth group retreat. We just said, let's put them together.
Same time.
So we did, and a couple of other students, a couple of other friends who are now youth pastors who we'd been in school with here at Lee University, we called them. We all went the same weekend. Five churches, 279 kids that first week. I'd like to tell you we knew what we were doing. I'd like to tell you that I could see the vision long term, but I can't tell you that. I didn't know what God was doing. I did not know what the Holy Spirit was giving birth to at that particular moment. We were just walking by faith, doing the very best that we could do as youth leaders, and just came up with this idea. Of course, it wasn't us. It was the Holy Spirit in us birthing something far bigger than we ever dreamed. And then from that, other leaders heard about it. The next year came. We had 700 people the next year. The next year we had 1,500, and it just grew. At that point, then God began to speak and say, okay. Then I began to see things. Then the Lord began to show me different parts of the country where believers or youth groups could gather together and we could do the same kind of thing. Then the vision kind of came forth. It was God all the time giving birth to it, but we didn't know what he was giving birth to. And I think that's what the walk of faith is all about. In fact, they asked me to write a book the last year, and I entitled it An Ordinary Day, because I believe that's what our walk is. You never know on any given ordinary day what God is going to give birth to. And that was a big part of my assignment, was the next generation. And to see them flourish, to see them be ministered to, and now to see them take their place in the kingdom. I still believe that is a continued part of my assignment is still the next generation, incorporating them into ministry. The style will be different. The methodology will be different. But the DNA that we've always had, the Word of God and the Spirit working, we've got to bring that into contemporary culture, because that stays with us. The methodology changes, but the Word doesn't change. The Spirit doesn't change. So it was beyond our wildest dream. I mean, I'd love to tell you that we just sat down, mapped it all out. We had a vision statement, and we had, this is how it's going to work. Didn't happen that way. It's just walking by faith on any given ordinary day. And I think that's also how important it is for us to walk with the Lord every day, because you don't know but what that's not the day that your destiny and your assignment is released in the kingdom. Mm. So you don't want to forfeit that either.
Wow.
You don't want to miss your timing. And you can do that. Mm-hmm. You can do that. But it's just a beautiful thing that God birthed. And now moving on from that, and here's a big thing with me. Fruit that remains. As I said this morning, it's not about me. It's not about any of us. It's about God's kingdom and His purpose being revealed in our lives for His name's sake.
So God didn't give you a blueprint with, you know, A to Z.
No.
Check marks 1, 2, and 3. I mean, no. Basically it was just, almost sounds like it evolved out of just an idea, but then you sought God with it and He blessed it of sorts?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. But let me go back, because I'm just reminded of this. Upon leaving Lee, was scheduled to go to a church that I really wanted to go to be youth pastor. I go down in one of these interview type things, and we really wanted to go, and we didn't get it. Hmm. It crushed me. What happened, what was going on, God was saying no, because I have something else for you. Hmm. If we had accepted that job, if we had been given the opportunity to accept the job, there's no question that I would not have been involved in what God wanted to do. So I have learned that sometimes when God says no, it doesn't mean that He doesn't love us, but He has something greater for us. And a great lesson. It was painful in my emotion at the moment, but now I look back at it and I go, oh, so that's what you were up to. Hmm. God had it designed, as I said a moment ago, all along. If you just trust Him, He'll take you to where you're supposed to be, and He'll reveal your assignment as you go.
So what are some other lessons that you learned from launching this massive movement that you just basically launched very small with some friends, and God breathed on it? And like you said, you mentioned a moment ago something very powerful. You can miss your assignment. If you don't walk in relationship with God every day, you can miss what God's doing. I want to come back to that in just a few minutes. But
sure.
Before we hit that question, what are some other lessons that you learned through this process? You know, things that maybe didn't go so well and you figured out through that, you know, hey, we got to change that. We got to turn. So is it okay to say that sometimes when we're following God that, you know, it's not always a sin issue. Sometimes things just are bad timing and a bad decision and a bad location and a bad partner and, you know, for ideas and, you know, bad visionary kind of moments, and you turn and you make that thing work. What does that look like?
Well, sometimes I think the biggest thing I learned through this, knowing, especially looking back at it now, knowing the hand of God was upon it. I go back to the life of Joseph, and not everybody is excited about your dream. Joseph had a dream, and he comes back and tells his brothers, and his brothers didn't like it. Mm-hmm. The greatest opposition he had was internal within the family. So not everybody, quote, in the family, unquote,
right,
is happy about your dream because of their own maybe insecurities or their own wanting to climb the ladder.
Sure.
And then God births something that may seem like a threat to that kind of thing. Yeah. But here's the thing. God always sends protectors to what He wants. And like I said in the last segment, if you trust the Lord completely, rely on Him, He will tear down those obstacles to get His work done.
So how should a leader, you know, a young youth pastor type or a or you know, any leader, any ministry leader that has an idea, what do they do with that idea? You know, I mean, I'm an idea guy. You've known that. We've shared some ideas over the years.
Sure.
What does the person do with an idea? How do they move forward with seeing if that's something that could work and, you know, seeking God to bless that or maybe find out what God's saying?
Well, the Bible's very clear. Faith without works is dead. Mm. So if you feel like something is from God, then plan and get a strategy. Knock on as many doors as you possibly can. And then what you'll find is if it is the will of God, God will sovereignly open doors. He will bring people to you. Mm-hmm. Just sovereignly, you know, that will help with that. Now, it may take a while. I mean, 30 years in Winterfest, we didn't see 50,000 students. Mm-hmm. It took a decade for the concept to evolve and to grow. And in fact, we didn't even go to Knoxville with 20,000 plus students till we were 20 years in the project. And we even used to laugh at that, thinking that is so far beyond us. We can never go to that arena. But to walk in that arena 20 years later and it be full of students, just packed, screaming Jesus to the top of their lungs, you know, was an amazing thing. So you have to be faithful to it. Once you have a plan, a strategy, a vision, then be faithful to what God's called you to do. It may not be 20,000 people. That's not the issue. The issue is doing what God has placed in your heart.
Now, you're not working with Winterfest as a day-to-day leader right now, right? You're still an advisor, I guess, or still you're the father of it or whatever. But
they call the old man from time to time.
There you go. So how do you make a shift like that? How do you – I'm going to get real personal here for a minute, Tom, real practical for a second. You know, from a guy who's leading multiple of these events throughout the year with, you know, multiple thousands of people coming. And now you're working designed with 200 plus churches, helping these pastors to really identify what God's doing and move forward in their work. How do you make that shift from, you know, what seemingly was a high level of just, you know, awesome greatness to now, not necessarily any less great, but yet a different type of assignment? How do we identify that, and how do we embrace those moments as leaders?
Well, I can't say that my heart ever left the assignment.
Good.
It will always be there. I mean, I'm back there every year, not as the leader, but my heart is still in the middle of it, and it always will be. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can just walk away from the assignment of your life. But there are different seasons of our life.
Okay.
There are different times. And so realizing that, we knew that season was coming to an end because of different stipulations that's put on by our denomination. So you know that's coming, so you do your best to get ready for it. And know that there are different seasons, so you do your best to shift into the next season. And it does take a while, but it's good. It's good. And a lot of the same leadership principles that you learned in doing Winterfest and managing that, a lot of that's still the same. It's visionary. Mm-hmm. Got to be very visionary, dealing with people, opposition that you constantly find. Many times it's crisis management, and that's probably a frustrating part about it because I'm the kind that likes to play offense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's be visionary about what we're doing. And the Lord is helping us with that as well. But here's what I think has happened with me because of my assignment with the younger generation. Now I'm in a position to enable young men and women to come into their assignment, to come into their kingdom assignment, maybe quicker than they would have been able to had I not been there. So I'm working very hard with that. And God's opening up some avenues. God's opening up some streams. Because this generation is going to do it completely different.
Mm-hmm.
The methodology is going to change. And that's fine. It doesn't matter. But let's open up. Let's hear what they're saying. What's God saying to them?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And I'm not trying to fit them into my box. Let me hear what God's saying to you and then release them to accomplish what God's speaking to them. Mm-hmm. I see that as my role right now.
Mm-hmm. Tom, you made a statement a few minutes ago, and you said that it's very important every day that we walk with God, that we, you know, develop our relationship and stay with Him, because on that ordinary day, could be the day that God releases your assignment and ultimately your destiny in the kingdom. Now, we know through Scripture, even David's life, you and I know friends of ours, people that we don't know that we've heard about over the years that have missed an assignment, obviously for any number of reasons, most usually the reason of sin. For those listeners today that have missed an assignment, but they're not ready to give up, they're not ready to quit, they feel like that God maybe is still speaking to them, they're probably mourning the loss of an opportunity that they thought may could have happened because of, you know, another decision. Where do they go? What do they do? I know your heart's a pastoral heart. No. Speak to that group of people right now.
Well, God will never give up on us. Hmm. And what he will always do, he will create another assignment. He will make our life meaningful and purposeful in the kingdom. And if we have fallen or made a mistake, what he will do, only God can take the past and turn it around for our good. And he will take our past if we missed an assignment, but he will use it in the future to be able to speak to other people who maybe have fallen in the same manner in which we did in our past. And we're able to speak to them in a manner that nobody else can speak to them. Maybe it is a drug, alcohol, addiction. I can't relate to that. Mm-hmm. I've never been there. Mm-hmm. But God can use people who have been freed from that kind of thing to speak to a culture that's dealing with, to speak to an individual that's dealing with mm-hmm. it and say, I know how you feel. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you what God can do. He can turn your life around. And I'm an example. I think that's one of the greatest things right now, the crisis in the church, is that people on the outside are looking at us and said, if the God that you serve is as powerful as you say it is, then show me the people who have been like me that have been redeemed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a real challenge for the church. But that's what God can do in somebody's life that maybe has missed the mark at some point. He will turn it around, and he will bless the latter far greater than the early part.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm glad you said it like that, because I tell people all the time, you know, God, I pray for folks all the time that God will make their latter years even greater than their former years.
Amen.
You know, you and I have seen some awesome things in life, and may that be our prayer today, that God would take our latter years and make those much greater than our former.
Absolutely.
Tom, thanks for joining us today on SERVcast.
We
so much appreciate what you do and glad you're with us.
Honored to be here. Thank you.
Welcome back, and our guest is Mackenzie Clinton. And this particular segment of the episode, we're going to be talking about service. So, Mackenzie, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, you're a senior at Lee University, graduating in, well, probably by the time people listen to this, you will have already graduated, and you may already be in Cambodia. So, what was your major at Lee University?
I'm a international business major, and then I have a computer information systems minor.
So just take a couple of minutes and tell us some of the activities that you were involved in. We know everybody's involved in academics when they're at Lee, but most of the people at Lee are also involved in some other activities. And so what were some of the things that you were doing when you were here?
Yeah, so my freshman year, I immediately got involved in SLC, which is Student Leadership Council. By the end of my freshman year, I had applied for leadership of that, which is called Cabinet. And so for the next 2 years, I was on leadership of that, and I got to help a lot with the athletics department. And so I worked a lot with Larry Carpenter and intramurals and that kind of stuff. So that was really cool. And then I was also really involved in Big Pal, Little Pal, which, if you don't know what that is, we go and serve at the Boys and Girls Clubs and have somewhat like a mentorship kind of program with a lot of the kids there. And then I was able to help with like the events and stuff that we did on and off campus with that. And then my junior year, I ended up rushing a Greek club here on campus, and I've been very involved in that ever since then. And so, yeah, I've loved being able to see a lot of different parts of campus and a lot of different facilities that people can find their home in. And mm-hmm. it's not all the same, and it doesn't have to be, but it's like where they find their place.
Cool. So. And I would say that, you know, you were peer leader to one of the coolest Gateway professors on campus, right?
Yes, I would have to agree with that. I was a peer leader for Dr. Lamb for 2 years, and then I was a peer leader for Dr. Blackman a year before then.
There you go. So, all right. So, Mackenzie, on the front half of this this episode today, we talked about the idea of being able to find hear God's voice. What's God doing? You know, maybe he's got a destiny for people. He's got a position. He's got a place for people. We recognize that, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got a place that you're committing to for a year, at least a year. So tell us about what's next for you after Lee University. What are you doing and why are you doing this? And we'll come back and probe a little deeper along the way.
Okay. So this upcoming year, I am going to Cambodia. I'm working with an organization called People for Care and Learning. They have worked a lot with Lee, and that's kind of how I found the organization. And we can talk about that in a minute if you want. But yeah, so I had the opportunity to go once before, and because of that, I fell in love with the people there and the organization and everything that they were doing. And so when I came back, I guess backing up a little bit, my whole life, I've always loved missions. The church I grew up in, we've had a lot of mission opportunities. And so I've always been able to do that, but it's always been short-term missions. And I've always kind of said in the back of my head, like, no, I'm not going to do anything long-term. And I think, honestly, it was just because I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that, like, that was something that the Lord was calling me to, but I was just kind of pushing it away. And then I got back from Cambodia, and I knew I had fallen in love with it, but whenever you get back from a mission trip, you're always on this high
mm-hmm.
of, oh, I loved it so much, I want to go back, like, all that kind of stuff. And so for a while, that's all I thought it was. And then I continued praying about it, and the Lord just kept putting things in my life, and he, like, wouldn't let me say no to it. And then there came a point to where I was like, okay, like, this is something that I'm supposed to do, and I know that the Lord has called me to this. So
let's unpack that term for just a minute. When you say the Lord has called me to this, I mean, did he call you on your cell phone and say, okay, Mackenzie, Cambodia is your lot in life? You know, what does it really mean? I mean, we hear that term a lot, but
right.
But for those people that maybe don't understand that, what does that really mean to somebody who is, you know, as successful as you have been, and now you've got really about any option, any choice, anything in the world you want to do, and you feel this tug on your heart to do something called missions. Explain that calling process. What did it look like for you?
Yeah.
How did you identify it, and how did you make sure it was God?
So I guess from the beginning, I just started praying about Cambodia. And one of the prayers that I had prayed was, if this is something that you want me to do, then keep putting this in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let me just shut the door on it. I'm the kind of person that I need the, you know, big, bright, flashing lights
mm-hmm.
To know that it comes from the Lord. And some people don't, and that's great, but, like, I do. And so I just, one thing after another, I kept hearing, speakers would come to chapel, and then they would mention PCL, People for Care and Learning, or something along that line. And then there was a guy that came to speak in chapel in November of 2016. His name's Kyle, and he's from Far Flung Tin Can. And one of the things he said in his speech in chapel was, God can orchestrate better than you can manipulate. Mm. And that really just stuck with me, because for so long, me just in general, I like control. And so I like to know what's going on and what's going to happen. But for me, that was just really, like, that just spoke to me and saying, hey, like, you need to let the Lord take control of this. And if this is something that he wants you to do, like, he will continue to show it in your life. And that just continued to pop up time and time again of PCL and that kind of thing. And so I had a friend that went to Cambodia mm-hmm. and I talked a lot to him, and it seemed like something that I really wanted to do as well. He went for 6 months and I'd be going for a year if that was obviously I'm here now, but mm-hmm. And so just continued talking to him and then praying a lot about it. And then I actually ended up talking to some people from the organization and trying to find more just mm-hmm. more out about it and what it would look like and that kind of thing. And that mm-hmm. was fall of 2016. And I was supposed to go in for an interview, and then we had some family stuff happen right mm-hmm. at the end of the semester, and I wasn't able to. I had to get home, mm-hmm. and so I couldn't go into the interview. And they said, it's no problem. Like, we're about to go on break anyways. Just come back as soon as you get back from school, because they're based out of Cleveland, where mm-hmm. Lee is. And so I was just going to do that. And then in January, as soon as I got back to school, I applied for – an interview again, and then they had said, just kidding, we are moving to Alabama instead of Cleveland. And the lady that I had been in contact with, that was her last day in the office. And so from then, I kind of got bounced around from person to person and didn't really know what was going on. They didn't know if I was even going to have a position over there. And so I really thought that, like, the Lord was starting to shut this door. And I was really confused because I thought that it was something that he had put in my life, but mm-hmm. then he was starting to take it away. So it was like, is this not from the Lord, or do I just need to continue trusting him? Mm-hmm. And it was during convocation. So Lee has convocation once every semester, and mm-hmm. it's for a week. And one of my friends had, like, we had talked after the Wednesday night service just a lot about, like, trusting the Lord and that kind of stuff. And she had mentioned the song, Spirit Lead Me Where My Trust Is Without Borders. And I've always loved that line. Mm-hmm. And so she had just really talked about that and, like, prayed that over me. And then the next day, I believe it was Elevation Worship, they came and sang at Lee on Thursday night. And so we were about three or four songs in, and they had sang a song about trust. And then in that moment, I just prayed and I said, okay, Lord, like, if this is something you want me to do, I need you to play the song Spirit Lead Me Where My Trust Is Without Borders. Like, mm-hmm. I need you to play Oceans next. And then as soon as I said it, I was like, that's not fair. Like, I don't even know if Elevation Worship sings this song. Like, you can't just mm-hmm. say that. And then I was like, okay, well, it's God, so you can do what you want. So, mm-hmm. And about 30 seconds later, as soon as that song ended, the next song that they played was the song Spirit Lead Me Where My Trust mm-hmm. Is Without Borders. And I was like, okay, like, this is it. I can't shut that door in his face mm-hmm. because he's put it in my life too many times for me to essentially, like, shut that. And mm-hmm. so ever since then, it's just been, okay, let's go.
So what's the difficult part of this trust walk? And how are you dealing with that?
Yeah. So one of the biggest things is, I guess, the community just surrounding me. And I'll explain that. I'm very much so a people person. And so I've always loved having people around. Mm-hmm. And in a community such as Lee, where you're constantly surrounded by that, to know that when I get there, I will know maybe two people. Mm-hmm. And most of which who are over there can't even hardly speak English. And so really just, like, trusting the Lord that he's going to take control of all of that, and he will provide me with the relationships I need, and he will provide me to, like, continue to pour out his love too. And so I guess one of the biggest ways I've tried to prepare for that is, I mean, just spending a lot of time with him, but also spending a lot of time with the people here in, like, my community and my friends, and to know that those people are going to be supporting me miles and miles away. And I don't just have to have them by my side, like, in person, but, like, they are going to be supporting me on this journey, my friends and family, much past, like, down the street.
Mm-hmm. So what have you learned about yourself through this process?
One of the biggest things, and I kind of mentioned this, but was, like, you don't have to have control mm-hmm. and you don't have to, kind of like what they were saying, like, we need to let God take the reins mm-hmm. and he can orchestrate everything so much more than we can even remotely try and plan. Mm-hmm. And so truly letting him take control of all of this, and giving it to him and saying, hey, I trust you, and I know I don't always understand, and I'm not really supposed to understand whether the good or the bad times, but, like, he has something like planned so much greater than we could ever picture for ourselves. And so really just, like, letting that go and opening your hands and saying, I don't want to do this on my own, and, like, I want you to take control of this. So I think that's probably been the biggest thing.
So what will your assignment be for this 12 months that you're going to be over in Cambodia?
So a part of it is I'll be taking classes in the morning to learn their language. It's called Khmer. It's similar to Thai, what they speak in Thailand. And so I'll be learning part of just their culture and their language in order to communicate with them more. But one of the biggest things is with PCL, I will be teaching English classes.
Okay.
And so I'll have two different classes a day, or two or three, it kind of depends, And then, but we'll be teaching, so they, the foreign teachers, which is what I will be considered, we teach some more of the advanced classes because we can't teach some of the basics because I don't know their language yet. And so it's a lot more of grammar and conversations and that kind of stuff. And then we just live life with them and just show them and try and show them like what the Lord has done in our life and his love through us. And then another thing we'll be doing is on Sundays, we'll do kind of like a children's church in a sense. And then after church, they have a feeding program because where the community center is that we'll be working, a lot of these kids don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And so along with church and showing them Jesus and that kind of thing, we'll also provide more sustainability of just as far as food goes in general. So a lot of it's going to be like teaching kids English and then just living life with them.
Highly relational.
Yes.
Yeah. So has there been an experience, a class, an event, something at Lee in your academic journey that has helped position you for this next move in your life?
Yeah. So it's interesting because I thought about teaching for a while. Like before I got to college in my early years, I guess, of college. That's weird to say.
You're so old.
I know.
So
it's so weird.
But she's not old, by the way, for those of you who are listening.
I feel like it. But anyways, and so, yeah, I thought about teaching, and I actually took an intro to teaching class here at Lee, and my professor's name was Dr. Robinson, and I went through the whole semester, and you go through a lot of you have to go, like, watch different classes in schools and that kind of thing. And then a part of the class is at the end of the semester, you have to do an exit interview with the whoever your professor is. So in this case, Dr. Robinson. And one of the things he said to me was, he was like, look, I'm not trying to prophesy over your life, but I feel like you can do more with kids. Because my heart at the end of the day, like, it's kids. Like, that's just me. But he said, I feel like you can do more with kids outside of the four walls of a classroom than you can inside. And he told me that my second semester, my freshman year, and that has stuck with me ever since. And so obviously I became a business major, which is very different than teaching. But just to know that so many professors at this university care so much about us and what they think that the Lord has planned in our lives and doesn't have anything to do with them personally has meant so much because they genuinely care for us and they genuinely want to see us show the Lord's love, however that looks, whether that's in their department or not. And so I think that that's been one of the biggest things is just like hearing advice from professors in or out of my department or in or out of having anything to do with PCL.
Good. And we're going to be watching you from a distance. We're going to be reading your updates and your blogs and all of the above. And so, hey, I'm glad you joined us today, Mackenzie. I know you. You've been an assistant with me in class for a year now. And, man, I really like what I'm hearing about where you're headed. And I'm looking forward to just celebrating with you as you get into Cambodia. Be sure to connect with us when you get there. You start your blog and all that you're going to be doing and communicating. Are you guys going to blog while you're there, right?
Yes, yeah.
So when you get all that started, send it back to us and let us know, and we'll update the show notes and put it on our podcast interview with you. But Mackenzie, thanks for joining us. We're really glad that you're here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for joining us on Servcast. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes and share us on Facebook. Hey, if you've got any questions, send them to servcast22@gmail.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Servcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Servcast. Thoughts and opinions expressed on Servcast are those of William Lamb, his guest, and no one else. Until next time, this is Servcast, signing off from Studio 22.